Guys, do take a seat. Do take a seat. Kids, tell me this. Who is excited for tomorrow? One, two, just a few of you. Who's excited for tomorrow? Shout it out. That's a little bit better. Tell me this. What are you most excited for? What's the best bit about Christmas Day? Presents. Yes, do you have a list of presents already? Do you have a list that, no, nothing? You got some lined up, okay. Hannah? Presents. Is everyone about presents?
No.
What else? Love? I like that. Like that. Mike, well done. Well done. Anything else? Christmas dinner. Who likes Christmas dinner in here? One of my favorite bits. Brussels sprouts. Love them. Not so much. What else do we love about Christmas Day? God's birthday, yes, Jesus being born, perfect. Anyone else? Pigs and blankets, yes. Anyone love video chatting family who aren't around? Yeah, Ali, yeah, I love that too. Usually I have a picture of my mum and the ceiling, and that tends to be what happens on Christmas Day. The best bit of Christmas Day for me is remembering the why. Remembering the why. It's as much as Christmas dinner is one of my favorite bits, and I've been saving myself for Christmas dinner, it's remembering why we get to celebrate Christmas. It's remembering why we get presents to enjoy. It's remembering why we get to give and receive those gifts. It's remembering why we put the star at the top of the tree and the lights around our house. It's remembering why the baby being born. We've just been singing that wonderful song, haven't we, about the angels and about the shepherds, how they've gone to see the baby Jesus. And that story, that song comes from a part of the Bible in Luke chapter 2. And I'm going to just read that for us this morning to remind us what Christmas is all about. So it's in Luke chapter 2, and it's going to be on the screen behind me. And in the same region, there were shepherds out in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with great fear. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger." And then suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased." And when the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." And they went with haste, and they found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. And when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told to them concerning this child. And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured in her heart all these things. She treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and all that they had seen, as it had been told to them. And at the end of 8 days, when he was circumcised, he was called Jesus, the name given by the angel before he was conceived in the womb. Guys, can you imagine the sight? Imagine you're out in the fields of the countryside of the world at nighttime, and you see this almighty light, this sudden brightness in the sky as an angel comes before you. Imagine in the middle of the night, you're standing there. What would you do? I'd be terrified. I'd fall over. I'd hide behind some of the sheep if I was looking after sheep. But listen again to what the angel said. "Fear not. Fear not. For behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all of the people." That news sounds good, right? That sounds like stuff that we don't have to be fearful of. But what was the good news that the angels wanted to tell these shepherds about? For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy. These angels are saying, the thing that I'm about to tell you should be an encouragement to you. It should be exciting for you. It's something for you not to be fearful about, but something for you to be excited about. You see, after Jesus was born, God sent his angels to declare the birth of the long-awaited Messiah, the Savior of the world. And he did that to a group of shepherds in a field at night. Now, I don't know about you, but whenever I picture these shepherds in my mind, often I've thought of like maybe 30 to 50-year-old men with beards and tea towels on their heads. But history and culture actually tells us that these shepherds might have been young kids, girls and boys. Imagine that. Imagine young kids looking after the sheep at night. You see, in Israel, even to this day, shepherding is considered a lowly role. Not many people want to do it as a job, and it's often performed by the kids of the family. Think even in the Old Testament, we have David, the youngest child in the family of Jesse. Not necessarily the adult men, but the kids of the family. And if you went to Israel, even now, kids from the age of eight, who's aged eight in the room at the minute? Els, you could be a shepherd. You could go out into the fields at night and look after the sheep. Even in first century Israel, we would find the chore of shepherding is often given to the youngest child once they turn eight, all the way to when they're 15 or so. And often it's given to the girls of the family as well. So these kids could have been looking after the sheep from a very young age. And it's them, potentially, that the angels came to. I love that part of the story. God chose to reveal the birth of his son, of Jesus, of the Savior of the world, to a group of lowly shepherds. It could have been men in the 30s to 50s with beards and tea towels on their heads, or it could have been young kids. It could have been young kids just like you guys that he came to report and reveal the good news of great joy to those who were considered small, considered low in the society at the time. He didn't do it on the BBC or the equivalent. He didn't do a major news report. He didn't do it in the palace courts. He announced the good news of great joy to shepherds in the fields outside of the city of Bethlehem. Now here's the exciting part. 33 years later, Jesus revealed him resurrected, him back to life, him in newness of life to someone else who would have been considered lowly in that time, in that society. He revealed the good news that Jesus was risen to a woman, to Mary Magdalene. God reveals this amazing story of who he is to normal, ordinary people, everyday people, just like you, just like me. Whether you're the youngest in the room or whether you're the oldest in the room. Isn't it amazing that God reveals the good news of great joy, both at the Savior's birth, but also at the Savior's resurrection? To those who are considered the lowest of society, to those who knew that they were weak, to those who could then go on and report that good news to all of the people. And that means that each of us, no matter who we are, whether we're a young boy or a young girl, whether we're grandparents, whether we're from the Wirral or beyond the Wirral, wherever we might be, God gets to play a central role through us in his story so that we can report that good news, that truth of what we have seen, of what we have heard, of what we have experienced of the Savior of the world, of Jesus Christ, the one true light, Jesus Christ, who is Christ the Lord. And that good news is all about being a Savior. It was about that baby who was born a Savior to the world, who is Christ the Lord, meaning the true King, meaning God's anointed King, God's rescuer, the one that they had been waiting for a very, very long time, a special gift that had been given. And it was a gift for all of the people, a gift for all of the people. This baby was a gift to you. It was a gift to me. It was for all people who would believe in him and receive of him. And we know if you've followed the gospel story in the Bible, we know that this baby grew up into a toddler, into a child, and into an adult. And he would start out in his mission to rescue all of the world, all of the people. And this Jesus, as an adult, he says to his followers that I am the light of the world. I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but whoever follows me will have the light of life. This Jesus is the light of the world. This Jesus is the Savior of the world. And so whenever you look to Jesus, whenever you see Jesus, everything else pales into insignificance in comparison. When you see Jesus and you look at the Bible, you begin to see all of the promises that God had in the Old Testament, all of the promises that God had in the Old Testament come to be fulfilled, because he is the one true light that stepped into the world that had been plunged into darkness. And as the song goes, he is the Son of righteousness and light and life to all he brings. And in this world of darkness, there is healing that is only in his wings. You see, the wonder of the gospel, the good news of Christmas, the good news of Christmas Day is that Jesus laid his glory by. He was born that no more may man die. He was born to raise the sons and daughters of earth, born to give them second birth. So the angels who bow down in awe before him and all of the redeemed, all of God's people who are with him, they join and they sing, glory to the newborn king. So we have the angels, they report the good news of great joy to the shepherds. We've got the shepherds who go, and despite being the lowest in the pecking order, they go and report the birth of the Savior of the world. Because this is massive news. This is massive news that will bring great joy. But here's the sign. Here's the sign that the shepherds are given. This is how they will know that this baby is the Savior of the world. Because you will find the baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger. You will find the baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger. God is in the details. God is in the details. How often have you just passed by that line? Just thinking, yeah, okay, newborn baby, swaddled, that makes sense. Lying in a manger instead of a cot. Yeah, okay, I get that. God is in the details of this sign, of this message. The sign, it speaks of the normality of Jesus. It speaks of the humanity of Jesus. He has been brought into human existence, born as man. God in the flesh, swaddled for protection, for comfort. This baby, this God who left the glory of heaven was fragile, was dependent upon his parents, his earthly parents. But think about this for a moment. At Passover, a time when we as Christians, we celebrate Easter, there was three pieces of unleavened bread that were used in the Passover meal. Three pieces. And the second piece was a piece that was broken apart, and then put inside a special bag of linen. It was wrapped in cloths, and then it was hidden. It was hidden in the house for the rest of the ceremony to take place. It was hidden away, buried away in the house, and it would come back as a blessing to others in the form of a dessert. I like that. But for followers of Jesus, as we look to even the sign of that Passover meal and that bread, we, thinking about the three pieces, thinking about the second piece, we think of the Trinity, the God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. And that second piece, representing Jesus, representing God the Son, that bread that was wrapped in cloths. Just as Jesus was wrapped in cloth at his birth, so again would he be wrapped in cloth when his body was broken. And he would be hidden away. He'd be placed in a tomb, wouldn't he? At Easter time, he'd be placed in a tomb until the Passover festival had come to an end. 3 days later, at Easter, we celebrate Easter Sunday because Jesus was alive again. He comes back again, no longer hidden, no longer buried away, but alive as a blessing to all the people. All the people who would receive of him, all the people who would believe in who he was and what he had done, particularly on that cross, as the kids found out earlier. The Christmas tree that we look at in our homes reminds us of the tree that Jesus was placed upon at his death. You see, Jesus' birth had a purpose for us. And it's a reminder that actually Christmas, each and every year, points us to Easter. In the midst of all of the darkness that we experience, in the midst of all of the chaos that we experience, in the midst of all of our own sin, God sends his Son into the darkness. He gives us the greatest gift that we could ever receive, the Savior of the world, Christ the Lord. Friends, Christmas continuously points us forwards to the death and resurrection of Jesus. When the Son of God, he steps into humanity's brokenness, humanity's darkness, because things really are that bad. Things really are that bad, and we cannot heal, and we cannot save ourselves. Things really are that dark. But yet, there is hope. There is hope. There is light outside of the world. In John's Gospel, the first chapter of John's Gospel, we're reminded that the true light, which enlightens everyone, was coming into the world. And that light was Jesus. Jesus has brought that light to save us. And indeed, that light itself was Jesus, for Jesus is the light of the world. And so the message of Christmas is this: the world, you and me, cannot save ourselves. We need Jesus. God sent his Son, Jesus, to save us. God took the initiative himself to save us. There's nothing that we can do. There's nothing that we have done to bring that about. God did it. The angels announced it to the shepherds. The shepherds saw it, and they went. And what did they do after they saw the baby Jesus? They went out praising God, glorifying God, for they had seen the baby, the Savior, who is Christ the Lord. I want to wish you all a really happy Christmas this year. I want to wish you the best of Christmas, because what we get to do each and every Christmas is we get to celebrate, we get to delight in, we get to enjoy and praise God for the wonder of the Savior. That is what we get to do tomorrow. We get to praise God for the wonder of the Savior that was born. The baby born, God in the flesh, the Savior of the world. Can I encourage you in the busyness of today, because no doubt you're going to be busy parents today, and in the busyness even of tomorrow, can I encourage you to read Luke's Gospel? If you don't have a Bible, if that's something that you don't have in your house, there's Bibles at the back. We would love you to take one of those as a gift so that you can read Luke's Gospel. It's right in the middle section at the start of the New Testament. And I would love for you to read chapter 1 and chapter 2 today and tomorrow to hear more about the birth of this baby Jesus, to hear more about what the angels pronounced upon the shepherds. And in order for you to be able to praise God and to glorify God for sending Jesus to save us. We're going to be singing our final two songs in just a moment. We've got some mince pies, we've got some mulled wine for us to enjoy on a Sunday morning to warm us up, to get us ready for the rest of the day. Do stick around after the service. Wish one another happy Christmas. Wish one another a very merry Christmas, a great day for tomorrow. And let's praise and glorify God together as we sing. Let me pray for us. At the end of the service, there's going to be offering buckets at the back of the room. If you want to give into that, that's for God's work here at Cornerstone to help us as we seek to make him known to the rest of the world and to those around us. If you want to give into that, if you're prepared for that, then you can put it at the back of the doors. And there's little buckets there. There'll be teams around as well. But I want to wish you all a very Merry Christmas. Let me pray for us now. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for your gracious gift of the Lord Jesus to us. We thank you so much for the joy that we can have at Christmas because you sent your Son, Jesus, into the world. We thank you that he is the light of mankind. He is the light of the world, that he brings light and life to us all. We thank you, Lord Jesus, that for those who receive you, for those who believe in your name, you give us the right to become children of God, and we praise you for that. We thank you that you died on the cross to take away our sins. We thank you that you died on the cross to take away our guilt, our shame, the darkness, the brokenness that we experience. Thank you, Lord Jesus, even more so that you rose again victorious, proving that you had dealt with it all. The wonderful gift that we get to report about, that we get to talk about, that we live for as your people, that we want to tell everyone that we know. Help us, like the shepherds, to go out and report this good news. Help us, like Mary, to ponder this, to treasure it up in our own hearts, to reflect upon it, and to delight in the truth of Jesus as the Savior of the world, Christ the Lord. And so, Lord, I pray that as we sing together now, as we rejoice, as we sing with joy, Lord, I pray that you would help us to go out from this place as people who cannot wait to tell others about you. And Lord God, I pray that you would give us a really blessed time this Christmas, a really joyous time with family and with friends. Lord God, I pray for those who may be absent this year. And Lord God, would you help us? Would you comfort us? Would you come alongside us as we experience that sadness and sorrow? But Lord God, I pray that you will equip us, you would help us to keep on looking to you, rejoicing in you and your dear Son and all that you've brought through him. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.